To the end of the new year, just a few days away, and so I felt like the Lord would give me a challenge. We just went through this in our class the other week, but as I was reading through it, I really felt like the Lord had a challenge here in Deuteronomy chapter number 30, one verse of scripture this morning to get us started, and so it's just amazing what is going on here. And so I'll give you the background in just a second. Deuteronomy chapter number 30 this morning. Deuteronomy chapter number 30, one verse of scripture, very important. See, I have set before thee this day life and good and death and evil. See, I have set before thee this day life and good and death and evil. And I want to preach this morning, I have set before thee this day. We're just a few days away from the new year. And I know that you can start anytime you want to, but I'm telling you, with the new year, it's just something about starting out, saying, you know what, okay. Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind and pressing toward the mark and something about. And so this is the time that we ought to be doing that. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, I pray for your help this morning. Touch on my throat, God, the change of weather always messes with that. And I just pray that you and you alone will get all the glory and honor from the message. God, this message is of you, and I know it's what you would have me to preach this morning to help your people. Lord, and it's no coincidence, Lord, for the visitors this morning. I think that, Lord, that you have brought them in for this message, and I pray that it will be a blessing to them as well. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Last year, we talked about, and by Tuesday night or next week, probably next Sunday, I'm praying really hard. I was talking to a pastor friend of mine, Brother Krieger, over in Council Grove, and he messaged me, and they have a thought and a scripture for this coming year. And one of the things that they're wanting to do is to everybody to bring a friend, just one person that for them to concentrate on for this year, to pray for that one person, to invite that one person, to try their best to get that one person in church. And this time last year, right for our first year last year, I challenged you, listen, the biggest problem that we have in Christendom is we don't set any goals. We are just as laid back, unfortunately, as we can be. We're like, we're trying to cruise through. And, you know, I understand for new Christians, reading the Bible through is a challenge. But for those of us, I've been saved for 25 years. Those of us that have been saved for any length of time, reading your Bible should not be your goal for the year. It should be something else. And last year I put before you and asked you to really think about a good goal, and you've got just a few days, but to try to find something, even if you've been saved for a long period of time, you ought to be trying to find a goal for this coming year. And I'm not going to ask this morning because most of you probably like me, I set a goal and didn't quite get it, but I'm going to try to set up a goal between now and Wednesday for this coming year, what it is that I want to do besides read your Bible. And that's why we've got several different reading plans back there in the back. This one goes through, if you want to read the Bible through in 5 days, this one does that. Like I said, the difference is what I saw that one guy talking about was the fact that he was talking about what you do is a lot of these plans, like this one, it divides up. So, you know, it started last year, Tuesday, you'd go in Matthew, Wednesday, Romans and Psalms, Thursday, you would go to Genesis. And so you're kind of skipping all over the place. And so I understood what that guy was talking about. And so, but there's a couple other options back there. And I'm going to try to do one like I was talking about, where it goes Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and then it goes to the book of Matthew, reads through the book of Matthew, and then it goes to Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, 1 Kings, 2 Kings, 1 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles, Ezra, Nehemiah, and then it goes to the book of Mark, and then it goes from Job to Psalms, Proverbs, to Ecclesiastes, to Song of Solomon, and then it goes to the book of Luke, and then it goes Isaiah, through Malachi and the book of John, and then you finish reading the rest of the Bible. And I thought, man, that's a really good idea to do that. And so I'm hoping to get it wrote up, but that's not enough. You know, we ought to be setting a goal. If you've been saved or you've been in church for any length of time, you would be surprised. I'm telling you, you'd be surprised right now, the number of people standing in the pulpits. That's the reason that people in the church are not challenged, as Moses is challenging. By the way, what's going on here? Moses is fixing to die. Moses preaches three messages in the book of Deuteronomy challenging the children of Israel one more time. A lot of people, and by myself, you know, I never really thought about it. Genesis covers thousands of years of history. Exodus covers basically 1 year of history. Leviticus covers like 1 month of history. Numbers covers 39 years of history. And Deuteronomy covers basically 1 month a few days of history. And so when you think about it that way, it means that it'll change the way that you look at the Bible, to think that there's almost more time from Genesis 1 to Genesis 12. There's almost more time. Some people say there is. But when you do the numbers, I'm like, no, you're not. But there's almost more time from Genesis 1 to Genesis 12 than there is the rest of the Bible. I mean, that's amazing to me. There's 2,000 years of history, basically, from Genesis 1 to Genesis 12, or there around. And then there's another 2,000 years from Genesis 12 to Revelation 22. It's amazing when you think about it that way. But anyway, what I was saying is, Moses is challenging them. He's re-giving them the law. He's re-giving them, listen, the cursing, the blessings. If you'll do this, you'll live and have life, and good and bad. If you don't do right, you'll have death. It'll be upon you. The wages of sin is death, and all those things. And so my job this morning is to do the same thing. Listen, I want to challenge you for this coming year. I said it before, there's many people standing up in the pulpits right now. You don't believe me? Go find you one of the other ones in the county. And I guarantee you, 90% chance that none of the other pastors this morning in this county can name the books of the Bible from beginning to end. The reason that people are not being fed in churches is because the people that stand behind the pulpits themselves either ain't saved or they're not feeding themselves enough to feed others. Somebody that stands behind the pulpit, surely, Brother Joe, I'll be able to tell you all 66 books that's in the Bible in order. And that ought to be last year. I challenged some of you. If you don't know that, that could be your goal for the coming year. You ought to know the books of the Bible. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, 1 Kings, 2 Kings, 1 Chronicles, 2 Chronicles, Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, Titus, Philemon, Hebrews, 1 Peter, James, 1 Peter, 2 Peter, 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, Jude, and Revelation. Go ask the other preachers and priests in this county. I guarantee you, 90% chance, most of them cannot do that. The reason that Christians are starving and Christianity is suffering is because the people that stand behind the sacred desk are not prepared themselves. My challenge to you this year is, find you something. I'm not going to set each of you a goal. I hope that every one of you, listen, I'm to the point now, I've read through this Bible, I've not arrived. Don't take this the wrong way. I'm not arrived. But I do not read my Bible through anymore in a year's time. I'm to the point where I'm spending my time studying the Bible. And I challenge people, you know, the first few years after salvation, read through the Bibles, read through the Bible so that you can know. When I say turn to the book Habakkuk, now, yeah, you could go to the front and you could say, okay, here's the front. The book of Habakkuk is on page 1341. Or you could learn the books of the Bible in order. You can find the book of Habakkuk, know where it's at, and be able to find that particular book of the Bible. And you should be able to do that without... I got to look now. But you should be able to find those books of the Bible. You should be more familiar with them. And then after you have been saved for a length of time, spend your time studying them out. What is God giving us here? One of the things that we've been trying to do this year, I'm trying to do myself better, is to try to give you what each the purpose of each book is. We talked about John, the book of John. John is trying to present Jesus as the Son of God. He leaves out a lot of earthly things. John's gospel is a lot different than the other three because John is trying to present Jesus. He doesn't give his birth. He doesn't give a lot about him physically because John gives more of the sermons, more of the Son of God when Jesus says, me and my Father are one. All that is in the book of John. And even John, I wish every writer would do this because I remember in school, some of y'all may, you know, you laugh at me if you want to, it's okay. I remember in school, they'd give you a book and they'd ask, you'd get questions on the book. What do you think the author is trying to portray here? What do you think the author is trying? I don't know. I didn't understand it then. I have a hard time doing it now. But John, in toward the end of his gospel, chapter 20, I think it's like 29 and 30 or 30 and 31. There's two verses there. John tells us, hey, here's the reason I give you this gospel. To show you that Jesus is the Christ. Not every book of the Bible is like that. And we have to dig in there. And we have to find out, why are they writing these books? Matthew's presenting Jesus as the king. That's why he gives the heritage. Matthew's telling us here, here's Jesus as king. Why? Because that's what the Jews were looking for. Well, a lot of people believe Matthew, you know, we put that divider, New Testament, Old Testament, that divider in there. Matthew is more of a transitional book because it's from the kingdom of heaven to the kingdom of God. And the reason most preachers won't preach on the difference between the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God is because they have no idea the difference. There is a difference between the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God. That's why it's in there. That's why Matthew mentions the kingdom of heaven, which is actually a physical kingdom on this earth in which Jesus will rule and reign. And then the rest of the Gospels mention the kingdom of God, which is a spiritual kingdom that you can only get into by being born again. That's what Jesus told Nicodemus. It's not a coincidence that those are different words. Early on in my Christian life, I thought, well, it's the same thing, it's just that they used a different word. But when you study it out, you realize Matthew is talking about that kingdom of heaven, that earthly kingdom in which Jesus will rule and reign on this earth, that he'll sit upon the throne of his father David, and he'll rule and reign on this earth. And you ought to know those differences. So my challenge to you, before I get into the message, my challenge to you is find you something this year. What is your goal? What is your goal between now and then? Oh, what's he doing? Okay. He's all right. He's all right. Sit up. Look. My challenge for you this coming year is to find you a goal. Now, if you're new and you're not going to say long, your goal should be to read through the Bible this year. And while you're doing it, why don't you do something extra? Why don't you also say, you know what? Not only am I going to read through my Bible, but I'm going to learn the books of the Bible. I want to be able to say all 60. You know what? I've been saved for years, by the way, before I learned this. I got challenged because I was teaching my oldest daughter at the time. We were teaching her the books of the Bible, and I didn't know the books of the Bible. And then my brother-in-law, who's several years younger than I am, 17 years younger than I am, he began to learn it. And I said, well, they ain't going to learn it before I learn it. And, you know, and that's what challenged me. Sometimes, listen, things like that should challenge us, not to be prideful, but to say, you know what? Hey, if it takes a child, that's what Jesus said to those little children before them and said, hey, you know, that he used the children to challenge people at times. But read through your Bible. Find you one. There's several different ones back there, different Bible reading charts. Again, I'm trying to have one here for Tuesday night. A new one here, a different one. But find you something. Maybe not only do you want to know the books of the Bible, maybe you want to know how many chapters are in each one of them.
That's a challenging thing. I mean, I know several of them. Genesis has 50. Exodus has 40. Psalms has 150 psalms. Psalms is the largest chapter, the largest book of the Bible. Psalms has 150 psalms in it. The book of Isaiah has 66. We call it the little Bible because there's 66 chapters in there. But find you something. What is your goal? Here's what I've been doing. I've been saying for 25 years, and I'm not doing this to be mean. Don't take this the wrong way, please. Nobody that my pastor's challenge every year was read your Bible. And it's a good goal. But my challenge is to find something beyond that. Find something beyond just that every single year. If you never set a goal or if you never set up a target, you'll hit it. You'll hit it every time. You'll miss every time. If you never set up a target, you're gonna miss that. You're not gonna have anything. You say, "Well, I'm just gonna wing it, preacher." Yeah, I've done that too. It didn't work. The reason that Christendom is failing right now is because our people are anemic. They're not being fed. They expect the preacher to feed them all they need to know one service a week. We have three services a week to try to encourage people to come all three services. Why? Because, listen, if you eat three times a week, Brother Joe, if we only ate three times this week, you know what would happen?
That's not good.
Probably would be a little bit good at first. We'd lose some of this extra weight we need to lose. Try only eating three times this week. What's going to happen? Eventually, you're going to get hungry. Your body's going to start dying. Hey, that's what happens when you don't expect the preacher to feed you on Sunday morning, Sunday night, midweek service, and you don't feed yourself during the week. You're going to become anorexic. What you feed, the difference between the spiritual and the Christian, the spiritual and the physical life is completely opposite. When you feed your flesh, you know, it engorges itself, and you become gluttony, and all that. Most people don't preach against it anymore. Gluttony, and things. I still believe gluttony is a sin, just as much a sin as lying and stealing. But in the spiritual realm, when you feed yourself, when you feed yourself, you become satisfied, and you say, okay, that's good. But in the spiritual realm, when you feed yourself, that's how you become more hungry. In the physical realm, the way you become hungry, you go without eating. You start getting those hunger pains, and you start saying, "Oh, I'm hungry." But the spiritual thing, you say, "Oh, I'm just not spiritually hungry." You know why? Because you filled up on the junk of the world. When you fill up on the junk of the world, you're not going to be spiritually hungry. The way you get spiritually hungry is to feed yourself that word. And the more you feed yourself that Bible, the more you get yourself in that Bible, the more you'll want. I remember years ago, I said, that's why I have so many books in my office. I've got a small little library in my office. Because years ago, as I began to read this Bible, and I still have the Bible that I have at the house, I would fall asleep on my Bible at night after reading it, and I would desire that. But it wasn't enough, Brother Joe. I said, I'm going to read other stuff. And I'm not a reader, naturally. My wife and my daughters, they're natural readers, and I'm glad. But I'm not a natural reader. But because I began to feed that Spirit of God, that Spirit that was now living inside of me, I began to desire more, and I read my Bible more, and I began to desire other books. And now, because I've filled up myself. I've sinned and filled myself up on the junk of the world. I've realized, you know what? I'm not feeding myself spiritually like I need to be. And this coming year, my wife and I were talking about last night, this coming year, we're making some major changes with some things in our life and trying to do right. Because what? Because God has set before us life and death. So three things real quick here this morning out of this passage of Scripture. Number one, I've set before thee this day. Number one, the pastor's responsibility. Nine times the man of God says here in verse number one, I have set. Number two, verse two, I command. Verse number eight, I command. And he goes on nine times. He has said, I have said, I command, I denounce, or I've called. The pastor has a responsibility. That's when you know you have the right man of God. When a man of God will challenge you A man of God's responsibility is to reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long-suffering. It is the man of God's responsibility to challenge you. I can't follow you around. I don't know where y'all work at, but I can't follow you to your job this week and make sure that you're feeding. I don't even know where you live. I've got six kids. I can't follow them around and make sure that you're feeding yourself. You have to. My job is to challenge you. It is your job to go out of here tonight and say tonight or in the morning. Now, they say the best time's in the morning. But I understand for years I had to be at work at 6 o'clock in the morning, and I'm not a morning person. And so I did all my reading at night. And I do believe now with getting the kids up at 7 o'clock and reading in the morning, I do feel like I do retain a lot more in the mornings. And I do believe that. But find a time. Set aside a time that works for you. As a husband and wife, sometimes you may have to say, hey, y'all don't want to do it together. But sometimes you can say, hey, honey, I need you to take the kids. This is my time. Set aside a time for family devotion. Set a time at night and say, we're going to sit down and read the Bible together at night as a family. We're going to cut the TV off. We're going to cut the electronics off. And we're going to read this Bible through. Hey, if you want to read through the Bible two or three times a year, do it as an individual, do it as a couple, and then do it as a family. And you'll be surprised what God can do. I understand. You know, some people say, I don't understand all these things. I understand that too. 25 years ago when I started reading that King James Bible, it was a little hard for me to understand it. By the way, the King James Bible is on a fifth grade reading level. It is the lowest reading level of any Bible there is out there. And the only thing that a lot of people always complain about is the these and the thous and the ye's and the you's. It's really simple once you understand it. All of them that start with a T are singular. Thee, thou, thy are singular. If it's a T, it's singular. If it's a Y, you, ye, it's plural. That's it. Once you understand that, I understand there's some old words, but just because there's some words that may be out of date does not mean we ought to get rid of this Bible. We stand firm on this King James Bible. I don't allow anything else to be taught from this pulpit. We stand true. I believe that this is the perfect, inerrant, inspired, preserved Word of God. I could go through this morning every other version of the Bible, and I can show you mistakes and things that people made when they translated the Bible, but there's nothing in this King James Bible. There's some things that are hard to understand, but I believe this is the Word of God. It is the only one that tells us the word Easter and tells us that Easter is a pagan holiday because of it in the book of Acts. All other versions translate the word to Passover, which is not an accurate translation. But because they want to make mistakes. But I ain't got time to get into that this morning. But it is my job to, as a pastor, to command you, to charge you, to get you inspired. It is your job to go out here afterwards and do what needs to be done for your family, for yourself. You need to feed yourself. You know what they say? When you're on a plane, if the oxygen mask comes down, what are you supposed to do first? Put yours on first. You're not supposed to put your kids on. You're not supposed to put other people's on. If the oxygen mask comes out, the first thing you're supposed to do, this is the one time in life that you can kind of be, I don't want to say selfish, but that you really need to concentrate in your Christian life. You need to make sure that you are sitting down reading your Bible, that you are sitting down. Listen, the Bible tells us over and over again, and if you don't believe me, go to Acts 17:11. And you'll see it. Acts 17:11 said these were more noble than those of Thessalonica in that they searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. What did they search? They searched what the preacher preached. I have no problem with you researching everything that I preach will come straight from this Bible. I want you to do what Acts 17:11 says. I want you to search out. When I preach something like this morning, I understand this is written to the nation of Israel, but I still believe the Word of God says, thou shalt not live on bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. The Bible is given, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly furnished unto all good works. We are to learn. Everything may not apply to us because we're not of the nation of Israel. We're not Jews. We are the church, Gentiles. Unless one of y'all happens to be of
Jewish descent this morning. I'm not either, so it's okay. It's okay, but even if, it doesn't matter because those, that covenant's gone because Israel broke that covenant and God made a new covenant with us through Jesus Christ because of it. That's why we have a new covenant, New Testament, and that's what the book of Hebrews is talking about. Hebrews and Galatians are my two favorite books of the Bible. My children know that. My wife knows that. I love the book of Hebrews and the book of Galatians because they deal with so much false doctrine. But just because I love those two books does not mean that I have to ignore the book of Numbers. Man, preacher, that book of Numbers is boring. I'll be honest with you. I struggle with the names too. I've been at this for 25 years. And I'm not a speaker. I'm not. My wife has helped me so much with a lot of these names and stuff. And if you have trouble, there's stuff out there. I tell people, the names shouldn't change. Doesn't matter what version of the Bible. See, the names is really what you struggle with more. Names shouldn't change. If they change the names, that lets you know there's something fishy going on. But if you want to know, go on YouTube or somewhere like that. There are people that have. If you want, I've got DVDs that are mine, but I'm saying I can make even a flash drive. But Alexander Scorby was a great man of speech. He is. It's been like 100 years ago since the man lived. He was used to, long before now. Now we have a common. What do you call it? When people read a book to you, when you say, "Listen, a book on audio, audio books." That's what I'm going for. What'd you say?
Narrator.
Yeah. Alexander Scorby did this 100 years ago, I think, or almost 100 years ago. Alexander Scorby, best one. His voice, he's got that deep man voice that we all want. I didn't get that. I pulled up the drive-thrus and say, "Yes, ma'am," to make fun. I'm like, is it really that bad? I didn't think it was that bad. But Alexander Scorby, he has that kind of voice, and you can find that just about anywhere. And he reads it. You can find it on DVDs. You can have an MP3-4. I've got it. Anybody wants a copy, I'll be glad to make it on a flash drive for you. But you can listen to him read those names, stuff that you struggle with. I understand. I've done that. There's names of towns and things like that you struggle with. But listen, that's not an excuse not to read your Bible. Pick it up. Natalie asked me recently, well, how do you know that you're saying those names correctly? I said, because somebody else taught me. But how do you know those names? Well, if you don't know, I could go get it, I'm not going to, but if you want to know how to pronounce words correctly, get you an old dictionary. I don't say old because I don't know if some of the new ones do it anymore, but a lot of the old dictionaries they used to have, it broke down to so that you would know how to pronounce the words correctly. Like I said, I've got some like, I forget what the name of the town is now, but I've got a section in the book of Acts. There's like five towns mentioned in a row. And that's why I like the one that's got a note taker. Mine's a note taker. I can write it how I would say it, even though it doesn't match the word. So that I can look at it and say, okay, here's how you pronounce this name of this town. But you get into dictionaries and stuff like that, and they used to have that in there. This is one of the things where the public school system failed kids. For years, when we were growing up, I learned phonics. But then for a while, they tried to stop phonics and they did sight words. Just learn everything by sight. The problem with that is you can only learn to a fifth grade reading level. You can't read past that. And that's why it's important for you to learn phonics so that when you do come across this. This one doesn't have it. The one I have at the house, Owen, the one I have at the house, there are some of them. I don't know. Does any of y'all's Bibles have some of them? Even some of the Bibles have it broke down. I've got one at the house that has one. Does yours have it, Joe? I know yours has some different things. Phonics. No, yours doesn't either. I've got one at the house, mine at the house, that actually has some of them broke down like that to show you how to pronounce some of the words, the more difficult words and names and stuff like that. I don't think yours has it either. It's gotten away from it. Nelson Bibles used to have that, and so yeah, you may see it in even in those some of them. But anyway, get you something. My challenge to you as a pastor, my responsibility, that's what Moses is doing here.
I am challenging you to get into the Word, to understand the Word. That was their big thing. He said, for this commandment which I command thee this day is not hidden from thee. We don't live in a time where you can't have a Bible. We make them readily available here in church. We give them away for free. God has blessed that we've been able to give away Bibles. Somebody does provide for them. Sometimes the church has bought them. Some of those other ones, people have provided those Bibles. We want all the material that's in here is for free. There's books back there, notebooks, tracts, whatever it is that you need, because my responsibility as the pastor, I am trying to challenge you. I have set before you this day to get into God's Word. This is, as he said, this day, this is life and good and death and evil. If you'll pick up this Bible and read it, Paul told Timothy, the Holy Scriptures, that he said, the Holy Scriptures that you've learned as a child, they're able to make thee wise unto salvation. That's why most churches are getting away from it. The devil's deceived them. The reason they don't challenge people to read their Bibles anymore, the reason they just put it up on a big screen and they don't put Bibles in front of people anymore, because the devil, listen, that works out for the devil. Well, they may hear it in church, but then they go home and they never pick up a Bible. I'm not against phones. I've got an app on your phone, but the problem with having an app on your phone, and I've known this too, is what happens. You get in there and you start reading your Bible, and next thing you know, Brother Joe texts me. Oh, I got to respond to him. And then next thing you know, my wife texts me. And next thing, I've wasted all my time. But if you'll put that phone down, and you know what? It's a lot easier if you say, okay, I'm gonna get this Bible. I'm going to hold this book in my hand. And no matter what that thing does, I'm not going to answer it. And you sit down and you read it. I'm telling you, it does make a world of difference. I'm old school, man. I'm old school. The pastor's responsibility, he set before him. Number two, the Lord's responsibility. Here's what God said in verse number 3. He said, I will turn again thy captivity. If you'll do right, he said, then the Lord thy God will turn thy captivity. Verse 4, he said, if any of thine be driven out into the uttermost part of heaven from whence the Lord thy God will gather thee. And not only that, he said, and from thence will he fetch thee. And then in verse number 5, the Lord thy God will bring thee. He's telling them here, listen, in the Word of God, I think it's chapter number 8. Let me see real quick. That's not the one I'm thinking of. Is it chapter 8? No. I'm thinking of Joshua. Joshua 1:8 is the one I'm thinking of. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do all that is written according. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. By the way, you can't do that with modern Bibles. King James Bible, it was written like a poetry. God made them write. Why? Because it's a lot easier to memorize scripture in there. There's a lot of psalms and scriptures that are able to be memorized because of that. The other one I was thinking of is Deuteronomy 32:4. He is the rock, his work is perfect, for all his ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity, just and right is he. And it's amazing. That's another thing you can do. Maybe you want to memorize 10 scriptures this year. I mean, memorize them. Maybe you want to memorize that. Mine was, I want to memorize a whole chapter, and I'm going to try my best to do it this year. Get down to it. There's some chapters, and even I'd love to maybe memorize like the whole book of Jude or something like that, where you're doing a whole thing. But that's my goal. You don't have to do that. But find you something that you're willing to do for God. Madeline set a goal to try to learn. She's been teaching herself on the piano. She set a goal to just try to learn some songs on the piano, to do something for God. find you something. But there's the Lord's responsibility. He said, I will turn thy captivity. I'll gather thee. I'll fetch them. And so we see over and over again, and because of sake of time, read this chapter. The Lord gives his responsibility. And then thirdly here, it's the people's responsibility. Verse number 2, he says, and it shall return unto the Lord. And let me read verse 1. It shall come to pass when all these things are come upon thee, the blessing and the curse, which I, Moses, the man of God, the pastor's responsibility, set before thee, thou shalt call them to mind among all the nations. And this is your responsibility, the people's responsibility. You're to call them to your mind. The Bible tells us in the book of Peter, be ready to give an answer of all men that asketh thee of the hope that thou hast. Listen, that's how do you be ready to answer? By the word of God. But you can't do that if you don't spend time in it. He said, call to mind to all nations whither the Lord thy God hath driven thee. Man, I'm telling you, I can't wait. One day I would love for somebody to be called out of this church, whether it's either somewhere here to go out and pastor or plant a church in Kansas or to be a missionary around the world. My dream, my hope and dream and prayer for La Crosse Independent Baptist Church for Rush County is that eventually somebody would come out of this church to, you know, not just I pray that somebody would eventually to take this church, pastor, but also to go out of it. Those missionaries are coming from somewhere. My wife and I came from North Carolina. We've got missionaries from all over. Missionary going to the Jews up there in New York. We've got another missionary family that's here in Kansas that we support that's gone to Mulvane to plant a King James Bible Preaching Church in Mulvane. There's missionaries that was just here for our missions conference. He's from right over here outside of Lindsborg, Kansas. Pastored the church in Lindsborg for 12 years and is now a missionary to go into foreign countries and doing other things for God. My hope and prayer is that eventually somebody out of this church would do the same thing. But he goes on. He said, verse 2, thou and shall return unto the Lord thy God and shall obey his voice. God has commanded that the people's responsibility is to obey his voice. And the book, the God has told us that we are to read his word. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to thy word. How are you supposed to know things? How are you supposed to know? What's the shortest verse of the Bible, Madeline? Jesus wept. Where's it at? Where's that, Maggie? Where's it at, Allie? John 11:35. Jesus wept. What's the longest verse of the Bible? It's not Allie.
Esther
8:9 is the longest verse of the Bible. You should know these things. There's some things that you know we should know. I mean, I can't know everything. I was speaking on Allie last night, and I was saying that next year we're just gonna. I thought I had this one. We're gonna next year for Christmas, instead of getting everybody Christmas presents, we're just gonna have. Maggie went over to a friend's house and played Christmas Jeopardy, and I said we're gonna have Bible Jeopardy, and y'all gonna have to earn your Christmas next year. And I said, I don't remember the question I asked now. Oh, I asked Maggie, I said, who was John the Baptist's parents? And Maggie gave thoughts. She couldn't be. Allie said, Zachariah, I said, Elizabeth. And I said, that's great. She said, is that a $100 question? I said, no, that's a $1 question for you. I said, your $100 question is, how many words are in John chapter number 1? I want to challenge you. I know that's. I'm not saying it's an impossibility, but I'm just saying, you know, you can't know everything. God could. God does. If you ask God right now, if God would answer us verbally, how many words are in John chapter number 1, Brother Joseph? He wouldn't know that. He can tell you how many times each word is in there. Now, there are books, there are things that can tell you different things. There will be different words in there. Strong's Concordance, and there's other things that will tell you how many times certain words are in the Bible, things like that. You can't know everything. We can't know everything in this Bible. But we can spend a lifetime trying to learn. I can't tell you everything in this. I've been studying for 25 years. I can't tell you everything. But that doesn't mean we shouldn't try. We should be trying to learn who was the first king of Israel. We should be learning why did he not get to keep the kingdom.
Why was he actually not the one that God wanted to be the king? How was he selected? Why was he selected, Maggie? Why was the first king of Israel selected? Because they selected him just because he was tall. He was head and shoulders above everybody else. That's the only reason they chose Saul. But Saul was of the wrong tribe. Who was in what tribe was Saul of? Well, Joe, you know what tribe Saul was of? He's your brother.
He was a Greek or was a...
Now, no, it's not a Judah. It was supposed to come through Judah. Benjamin. Joseph's brother. That's something you get the Bible written. Joseph and Benjamin were brothers of the same woman. And Benjamin, Saul was of the tribe of Benjamin, was not supposed to be the king, was not supposed to come through that. It was prophesied in the book of Genesis that the scepter would not depart from Judah. And so the king would come through Judah, not through Benjamin. They selected Saul because he's head and shoulders, he's a big man. And I think that's part of the reason David was a small man.
That was probably... maybe 5'6", 5'7", we don't know for sure, but according to the Bible, I believe he was a small man, never got to be big. You ever seen somebody? You ever seen a family that's got a couple big brothers and then they'll have one little brother in there? And you think, well, you just wonder what the... No. You know? Hey, that's what I think.
It talked about David's brothers, and David's brothers, it describes him as... big. Matter of fact, when Samuel comes to the first one, he looks at this big statue. He says, surely the Lord's anointed is before me. And God says, man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looketh on the heart. Now, people take that the wrong way and they say, oh, well, that means we can dress how we want to and live. No, that's not what that's saying. God knows your heart. I don't know your heart, but your outside is supposed to be a reflection of your insides. And I got time to get in there. But God told Samuel, he said, you're looking at his stature, you're looking at how big he is. That's not me. That's not who I'm looking for. And they went through all of David's brothers. And Samuel comes to the end and looks at Jesse and says, well, is this it? None of these big boys is the one. And they say, I got one more son. He's a little bitty fella. He's out keeping the sheep. That surely it's not him. And Samuel goes, that's him. Go get him. Got to get him. And God, when David comes and he said, that's it. That's the one right there. Who knows? He was 16 years old. I think he's 14 or 16. I can't remember if it gives the exact age when David gets. But he's not a big guy. David's you remember in school, that one little man in school that everybody feared? You always, that little man that if he's backed into the corner, he's going to hit you four times before you could blink an eye. I think that's David. He didn't want to fight. He's not a fighter necessarily by nature. But when he did get backed into a corner, he's going to make you wish you had never messed with him. That's what I think David was. And he was good at it. There's people that fight. There's different people in this world. Brother Joe, you've been around different things too. Same thing with case fights, stuff like that. There's people in this world, they don't like things, but they do them just because they're good at it. I remember years ago, I was told that Eric Montross, if anybody knows him, he used to play for Carolina, UNC. I'm not a Carolina fan, but Eric Montross is from the same area. Oh, well, he's not. The woman he married is from the same area that we're from, North Carolina. And Eric Montross was tall. I met him one time. He used to run on the track at the high school that I went to. And I met him one day, and I didn't realize that's who it was. He was coming out, and I'm like, because at the time, I'm still about this high then. I was short, by the way. I'm that one guy. I had three brothers all taller than me, and I was about this tall. And I got two brothers that are 6 foot, 1'6'4", 1'6'5". And I was the short one in my family. But anyway, they said Eric Montross never liked basketball. He did it because he was good at it. He was tall, and he could make money out of it. Now, I don't know if that's true because he ended up being an announcer and everything. But I've heard stories of people like that. They don't like. I know one for a fact. When I played high school football, I was a senior. My senior year, there was a guy, one of our linebackers, Allen. He was natural. He was a natural at it. He hated it. He only played football because his daddy made him do it. He didn't want nothing to do with it. And I thought, oh, man, you're a waste of talent. Because he could have got into college probably. He could have, anything. He was a natural linebacker. He had that nose to know when they're actually running, whenever he had it. And I'm like, yeah, you're a waste of that. But I think that's probably the same thing with David. David maybe was probably didn't necessarily want to fight, but he was just good at it. God had given him that ability, which kept him at a humble spirit in that particular thing. I got to move on anyway. So here are three there. He said that he's give the pastor's responsibility, the Lord's responsibility, the people's responsibility. Now, last of all, and I'm done right here with the message so we can get ready to break and go to Sunday school in a little bit. Verses 12 through 20, real fast. He says here, verse 11, for this commandment which I command thee this day, it is not hidden from thee, neither is it far off. It is not in heaven. Amen. Look, you got the word of God that thou shouldest say, who shall go up to for us to heaven and bring it unto us that we may hear it and do it? Neither is it beyond the sea that thou shouldest say, who will go over the sea for us and bring it unto us? Hey, there's people that are waiting for the gospel to be brought for them. There are people that are waiting for the chance to hear the word of God, that we may hear it and do it. But the word is very nigh unto thee. Amen. Every one of us in here has access to the word. Even if you couldn't afford one, most people now days have phones. I can't afford a Bible. Well, you can afford a phone. There's free downloads for Bibles all day long on your Bible. I know. I've got them. But the word is nigh unto thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart, that thou mayest do it. See, I've set before thee this day life and good and death and evil, in that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply. And the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. But if thine heart turn away, so that thou wilt not hear, but be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I denounce unto you this day that ye, plural ye, shall surely perish, and that ye shall not prolong your days upon the land whither thou passest over Jordan to possess it. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Choose life, therefore choose life, that thou that both thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life and length of days, and that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord God, Lord swear unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. The individual. He goes through here. I give you the pastor's responsibility, the Lord's responsibility, the people's responsibility. But last of all, here, he just starts out, ye, ye, plural, plural. But then it gets down to the last part, that thou, individual. I understand, you can't make your spouse do right. I can make my children while they live under my house do what I tell them to do. While they live in my house, they'll go to church. They'll do what I tell them to do. If they want a place to live, they're allowed to live in my house as long as they continue. It is an individual's responsibility that thou, singular, every one of you, mayest love the Lord thy God. It's an individual thing. You have to decide. Your children don't go to heaven because you go to church. Your children don't go to heaven because you're a member of a church. Your children don't go to heaven because they've been in Sunday school or Sunday morning worship. Your children go to heaven because they make the choice themselves. 25 years ago, I accepted the Lord as my personal Savior. 21 years ago, my wife accepted the Lord as her personal Savior. We each made that choice, and each one of our children, all six of y'all, have to make that choice for yourself. It is an individual's responsibility. What will I do with God? What will I do this coming year? It is your choice. For just a few days. Now, you don't even have to wait till the new year. But if you want to get started today, pick up the Bible and get ready so that when
January 1st come, you are ready to start a Bible reading. You are ready to study. We put all kinds of material back there. We got booklets on salvation. We got booklets on baptism. We got notebooks and more notebooks if you need more notebooks. If you want a notebook, listen, I will give you a notebook. I won't say for every book of the Bible. That'd be 66. But if you want a notebook for the New Testament, Old Testament, I've got more notebooks. You can have them. If you want notebooks, if you need pencils, pens, or stuff back there, we've got a whole lot more. We've got all kinds of tracts and things. We've got, whatever it is that you need to study the Word of God this year. But don't be content with just that. Find you something else. Say, Lord, on top of that, now, for your younger kids, it's okay. So I want to memorize 10 chapters this year. Yeah. By the way, you ought to be challenged. And then, a thing one time popped up on my YouTube. Man, I'm telling you, I have not arrived. But you young people say, I want to learn 10 verses this year. I want to learn the reference, and I want to learn the verse memorized. Hands down. I want to be able to quote scripture like Dad does. I want to be able to know 2 Peter 3:9, for the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, we're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I want to know what Romans 3:23 is, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I want to know what Philippians 4:6 says. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Find you 10 verses, some of you older ones, find you 20 verses. I don't know. I'm just setting before you this day, life and good and death and evil. It is each one of you's responsibility to say, what am I going to do this year for the Lord? What am I going to do? Because you, young ones, are preparing yourselves for your future now. But for your future, what you do now sets your discipline, it sets your habits, because it's hard when you get to be, y'all are younger than I am, but it's even harder now. It's hard to set new habits. Hey, Brother Joe didn't get saved until he's at 55, 54, 54, almost 55. It's hard to set habits. That's why it's important now at 7 years old. And 9 years old, and 12, and 16, to set the habits that you have. Because it'll make the difference 20 years. I know I'm only challenging you now to look for the next year. And I know the Lord could return. But some of you young folk, y'all be looking for 20 years in the future. Where do I want to be 20 years from now? What is it that I want to know about this Bible in 20 years? Don't wait till 20 years from now. Now's the time to set the habit. Let's stand. Father, we thank you for the day that you've made, Lord. I pray, God, that you would work in hearts. Lord, if there's somebody you've spoken to, maybe somebody through the preaching has realized they're lost. God, they have no desire to read their Bible. They have no desire to really be in church, God. Maybe this morning they'll come to this altar and call on you, God. And for those that are saved, Lord, maybe they come to this altar this morning. Put it on the altar, God, of God, this morning, and say, this is what I want to do for you, Lord, in the next year. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.